Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, we praise you for your word, for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Open our hearts and minds now through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear what you have to say to us this morning, and that we may go forth eager to serve you. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Please stand in honor of God's word. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I could not get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In his book, Living the Lord's Prayer, David Timms shares the following story. In December 1911, Douglas Mawson, a 29-year-old Australian geologist and explorer, led a 25-man scientific team to the frozen and forbidding tundra of eastern Antarctica. The team established a base at Commonwealth Bay and sent out small expeditionary parties. After a brutal winter at base camp, Mawson decided to explore the interior with 2 companions, a dog handler named Belgrave Ninnis and world ski champion Xavier Mertz. The 3 men planned to travel 1,200 miles across the largely uncharted territory, but the conditions proved far more arduous than expected. After 6 weeks, the men and their dogs had covered only 300 miles. They decided to turn back. But that very day, Ninnis, along with the 6 strongest dogs and the food sled, vanished into a crevice. Mawson and Mertz had just a week's supply of food for themselves, no dog rations for their 6 remaining huskies. And a 5-week journey ahead of them to return to Commonwealth Bay. They set off, and unfortunately, they had to take the dogs for food as their hunger demanded. Mawson and Mertz noticed then deep strips of their own skin peeling off, not realizing that the huskies' livers were poisoning them with their toxic amounts of vitamin A. After 3 weeks, and still a long distance from the base camp, Mertz died. So Mawson was by himself, and he pushed on. He made it to Aladdin's Cave, an outpost just 5 miles 5.5 miles from base camp, where fierce winds stranded him for a week. Finally, the weather broke, and Mawson made the steep hike down to camp, but he arrived too late. The ship sent to pick up his expedition had sailed away just 6 hours earlier. Remarkably, six men had waited in case Mawson returned, and they holed up in the camp with him until the ship came back for them 10.5 months later. David Timms then says this: "We might marvel at such a story of courage, hunger, and survival. Yet those events a century ago reflect a spiritual journey for many of us. Just as Douglas Mawson could not be tied down to a mundane, ordinary life, many of us feel the same way about our spiritual lives. Surely God did not intend the abundant life to be drab, boring, empty, or tedious. We may not face howling winds and blistering cold or find ourselves stranded on the most desolate and isolated continent of the world, but many of us share the deep yearning to explore the spiritual realm more fully. We want to know the deep interior things of God." And that is exactly what those disciples wanted in today's scripture passage. Jesus is praying in a certain place, and the disciples obviously have observed him praying on many occasions. And they long for that deep, intimate relationship with the Father. They want to be able to pray like Jesus. So one of them asks him to teach them to pray. Jesus gives them, as well as you and me, a pattern of how to pray as he teaches them what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Prayer, it is the center of our spiritual lives. And oftentimes we want to know how to pray, perhaps more effectively, more deeply. We want a deeper communion with God that we can't seem to arrive at. Well, as we look at the beloved Lord's Prayer, which many of us memorized as a child, we can see a pattern of how to pray, which I shared with the children this morning in today's children's sermon. First, we recognize God as our Heavenly Father and how his name is to be hallowed and to be honored. Remembering his will to be done here on this earth, it's not about our will, but it's about the will of the Heavenly Father. We ask for our daily provisions, not only of food, but the daily needs that we might have. We ask and seek his forgiveness, and as we forgive others, as Jesus has forgiven us. We ask the Lord to lead us away from temptation, those areas that Satan just tries to sneak into, and we ask to be delivered from evil. And then we praise him for his kingdom, his honor, his glory. And then we put that amen at the end. Amen is from the Hebrew amen, which means certainty, truth, and verily. In other words, so be it. Jesus then goes on to share with the disciples, after he gives them that pattern for prayer, he shares these little parables. "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And this is what the individual will respond: 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' Jesus then goes on to say, 'I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs.'" It's that word persistence that's translated there from the Greek. And the Greek is anedeia. And that word can also be translated as meaning shameless. Throughout the centuries, in the New Testament, it was used as shameless. But over the centuries, it became known as persistence, that particular meaning. And so that meaning is now inserted to that person who's outside the door, who's being persistent. But if we think of that word from its original meaning of shameless, it refers to the man in the house. Ken Bailey, who is a Presbyterian pastor and New Testament scholar who lived and worked in Lebanon, I've heard him speak, and he has many wonderful stories, and he's able to interpret the scriptures based on that Middle Eastern culture, which is oftentimes very foreign to us. We read scripture and we try to apply it to our culture, and a lot of scripture has to be applied to the culture in which the people were living. And he shares the sleeper in the parable wants to preserve his own integrity, his personal honor. You see, when the word is translated shameless, it refers to that sleeping man. The neighbors are listening to the conversation. If he fails to respond positively to a request for anything as simple as bread and offers thin, ridiculous excuses, he will be blamed and shamed by the entire community. To avoid shame, he will get up and in a good spirit give the individual everything he needs. See the difference? It's about the honor that the sleeper is concerned about, his honor and being shamed in the community. So he will give based on wanting to preserve his honor. In Ezekiel 36, 16 to 32, God acts to save in order to vindicate the holiness of his great name. And Ken Bailey says this same theme can be seen as central to this parable. The parable tells of a sleeping neighbor who will indeed preserve his honor and grant the host request and more. Before God, we have much more reason to rest assured that our request will be granted. You see, the Lord will preserve his honor. As we come before the Lord with our request, we don't come to someone who is just nagged by our persistence and answers our prayer to get on to the next person who's nagging. No, we have a God who loves us and cares so very much about every single one of our needs. He is loving and compassionate and caring, and he preserves the honor of his holy name and listens to our prayers and answers. Jesus goes on to say a little bit further about asking, to ask and to seek and to knock. And it's interesting in those verbs there, ask, seek, and knock. You know, we see it as a one-time thing, ask, seek, knock. But in the Greek, the Greek word there means to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It is a continual thing that we keep on doing these things as we come before the throne of God. And then Jesus compares an earthly father who, if his child asked for a fish, would give him a snake or an egg, or if he asked for an egg and he'd give him a scorpion. He's like saying, really? You know, you would give to your child what your child asks. Most of the time, within reason, of course. But if your child would ask you for a simple thing like food, you would give your child something to eat. Your child has needs, and you provide those needs for your child. And Jesus is saying, if you do that as an earthly parent, how much more is a caring and loving Heavenly Father going to do for you when you come before him and ask? And of all the things, he gives you the most precious gift of all, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, which when we say yes to Jesus, he gives us his Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us, to guide us and lead us and direct our lives every single day. It's the most precious gift. And the Holy Spirit helps us to pray and come into his presence. We have a generous, caring, and loving Heavenly Father who gives good gifts to his children, to you and to me. At the end of a revival service, the evangelist invited people to come forward if they wanted someone to pray for them. About midway through the line of people stood an imposing, intimidating-looking man. When the minister asked about his prayer request, the burly guy said, "Reverend, I need you to pray for my hearing." The evangelist quickly placed his hands over the man's ears and prayed fervently for restored hearing. When the minister finished praying, he looked the man squarely in the eyes and shouted above the choir's strong singing, "How's your hearing now?" The man loudly replied, "I don't know yet, preacher. My hearing ain't until next Wednesday at the courthouse." We can ask the Lord for anything, and he hears our requests, and he doesn't get them confused, and he doesn't get it mixed up. He knows what we need. He knows exactly what we need. And there is nothing too small or too large that we can't ask our Heavenly Father for. He desires to give good gifts to us. We can ask him for anything. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, "Prayer is beyond any question the highest activity of the human soul. Man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God. Of all the blessings of a Christian salvation, none is greater than this." We have access to God in prayer. The story is told about two wives who were doing their laundry in a laundromat. They were both mending their husband's pants. One wife said, "My husband is so miserable. Nothing goes right at work, and he can't find anything good on television. Our home is a place of despair. When we go to church, the song leader is terrible and the pastor is an idiot." The other wife said, "My husband is so excited. He can't wait to go to church. He loves the sermons. We laugh all the time and enjoy our family." It got very quiet in the laundry room as the women continued sewing the pants of their husbands. One was patching the seat of the pants, and the other was patching the knees. You want to know the deep interior things of God like those disciples did? Let's seek him fervently in prayer. Let's be persistent in our prayers, because he loves us so much, and he will listen, because he preserves the honor of his holy and majestic name. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you, that we can come before your throne of grace at any time, any place, with the smallest of things and the largest of things. And you're not hard of hearing. And you don't get things mixed up or confused. You hear us. You love us. And you desire to answer us. We thank you for the greatest gift of all that you've given to us through faith in Jesus Christ, that your Holy Spirit lives and dwells within us and helps us to pray. And your word even tells us, and we don't even know what to say, your Holy Spirit will give groans for us and will pray on our behalf. We thank you and we praise you for for that great, great gift. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that we can come before you and that you preserve the honor of your holy and majestic name as we cry out to you and you listen and you respond. All we can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise you forever.